Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
There's only one way to stop the rabid partisan Democrats. Pennsylvania voters must show up in 2020 so we can take back the House, hold the Senate, and keep the White House.
All right, debate on articles of impeachment against President Trump begin on Wednesday. That was the president, however, talking about what's going on at a very popular rally in Pennsylvania. If you remember, he flipped Pennsylvania in his run to the White House, something that hadn't been done since the late 80s. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. This is where we intersect once again, where everything flows in different directions in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere. But politically speaking, so much is being gunked up when it comes to being held hostage by what's going to happen here on impeachment. I said in a previous show, we want to see our democratic process work. So if there's something there and that there is a reason, of course, then there's a reason to do it. But is there enough there? And so far, there hasn't been anything that's been incredibly compelling, other than we know this phone call, we know second and third hand, and we know phone logs, and Rudy is in the thick of it, but he has something he wants to tell us from what he found out in the Ukraine, so what is that going to be? Meanwhile, the Democrats do their job, because now they've already opened this Pandora's box and they're going down this lane and that's it. So they're debating Wednesday two articles of impeachment accusing the Prez of abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. That sets up that constitutional war between the two branches of government. By the way, it's only happened three times before. We know that. So hours after the Democrats announced the articles of impeachment on Tuesday, they scheduled that Wednesday evening meeting of the House Judiciary Committee. So they knew where they were going with this. No deadline set for a final committee vote. However, if it is approved, the full House could vote on the articles as early as next week. Follow the bouncing ball. What have we said all along? It goes to the Senate. There's not numbers. The accusations against the president, they say, closely track the Intelligence Committee's findings about the dealings with the Ukraine. This is the heart of everything. That's what it's about. The panel found that the president withheld a meeting and military aid from the Ukrainian president Zelensky while pressuring his counterpart to investigate his political rival, who is Vice President Joe Biden, if you call him that. And what's interesting is with this panel and the numbers, but also Zelensky himself saying that there was no quid pro quo, that wasn't happening. Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler said it was an abuse of power for the Prez to obtain an improper personal benefit while ignoring or injuring the national interest. But here is the gist of it. Where does it go? We know what happens next. It's the 9-page articles with these accusations against the president, and it all is about re-election, all of that. Senate votes, then what? They read the full, but first they read the full articles of impeachment against him, and then they have these votes and whatever. The president called the inquiry a partisan witch hunt, and he tweeted that, of course, on Tuesday in the hoax, and Trump met with Zelensky and released the $391 million in aid without an announcement of investigations. So congressional Republicans are saying that the president had the authority to suspend the aid anyway and set the foreign policy. The White House press secretary called the articles a baseless and partisan attempt to undermine a sitting president that would hurt the American people rather than the president. And that's what's interesting. Does this hurt the American people? And there are those that are so over the top crazed with what's happening with impeachment and what the conclusion of the impeachment hearings will be. Is there some kind of a psychological impact on what we already have with us, a divided America? We live in a divided America, and we already know that. If the president is impeached, what kind of health impacts would it be on the mental health of the average Americans? There's been some conversation about that. We're going to have my pal, Dr. John Huber, on to talk about it. How do you return to civil discussions regarding politics? Are you having civil discussions in your world? And why do we have such a hostile and volatile political climate right now in the U.S.? Is there going to be a negative effect? Well, I already think that there is a negative effect on the division. NBC Wall Street Journal poll a year ago revealed that 80% of Americans feel the nation is divided, and now more than ever it feels even more divided, if that's possible. But the survey they did, it was 8 out of 10 people polled said, yeah, mainly or totally divided in the way they vote, in the way they feel. But I'm telling you something you already know. There's very few people that don't believe that. It's like we're on teams. And I said this before, it's the us's and the them's, it's you and me against those guys. I mean, yeah. Where do we get back to America first? And yes, we can agree to disagree, but the agree to disagree just doesn't happen. And the avoiding of the conversations, that used to be the thing, right? You don't talk about religion or politics at the dinner table because you're going to create some kind of an explosion, something where the words go out and you can't take them back. I think now more than ever, people are not regarding that. If there's an etiquette for such things, that etiquette has been thrown out the window. In my case, look, I'm a talk show host. I do this for a living, and I would have these conversations anyway. As a kid, that was imperative. In my family, they didn't tell you how to think, but you better have an opinion. You better care about what's happening in the nation. So I'll say this. I applaud anyone who's involved, politically speaking, in their local governments, and they care about what's happening. They know the issues. You get your rear end. You get off your assets, and you go and vote. If you go and vote, you can kvetch. If you don't go and vote, then you're part of the problem, because if more people voted, then perhaps what you think should happen would have a better chance, and we wouldn't have these lame numbers at the polls, and we wouldn't have these crazy skewed exit polls, because you would have a better representation of what the population, the constituents, believe in that area. Another horrible thing happened today. A shootout in Jersey City left 6 people dead. Police say 2 suspects fired at the authorities Tuesday afternoon. It was like a war zone. Went into a kosher deli. 3 people were killed there, and heavily armed cops went in. SWAT team, they ended up driving right into the deli. Horrible, horrible thing to happen, and shocking for the people in that area to feel like they were unsafe, locking down schools and everything else in between. They're trying to figure out what drove the 2 people who also died to do what they did, coming all dressed in black with their long guns. Sad news about the killed police officer, Detective Joseph Seals. We pray for his family, a 15-year veteran of the Jersey City Force, 5 kids. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now. Anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
It's a wrap with Kate's Take.
Ah, yes. As a decade comes to a close, I'm challenging all of you to put together that list that I don't want to call a bucket list, but a list of things that you want to accomplish or do or see before you move on to the next realm. For me, the list might be a little bit different than your list. My list might be different than yours. One of them is kind of strange, and I could do it pretty easily. I don't know why I never have. Have you seen the movie Dirty Dancing? I just saw a documentary about it, and it was really tough to get it made. A little unknown video company that made a ton of money in video ended up producing this movie. Even Jennifer Grey, who played the lead character, and Patrick Swayze were not necessarily the ones that were going to get the roles. The movie was made for $5 million. It's made a crazy amount of money in the 30 plus years since it's been out. It was released in 1987. Poor Patrick Swayze, we know what happened to him. Pancreatic cancer got the best of him, but he certainly starred in some pretty interesting movies, and this was a big one for him and ended up making him a ton of money. It's about a family. They go to the summer at the Catskills Resort, and a character named Baby Francis Hausman, who fell in love with the camp's dance instructor. So it's boy meets girl, wrong side of the tracks, right side of the tracks, and somehow Dirty Dancing in between. Here's a little snippet of it.
Cha-cha-cha. Hey, my frame. Where's my pleasing arm? Spaghetti arms. Could you give me some tension, please? You're invading my dance space. This is my dance space. That's yours. That's cha-cha. Look down. look right here.
Sylvia!
Yes, Mickey?
How you call your lover boy?
Come here, lover boy.
And if he doesn't answer?
Oh, lover boy.
And if he still doesn't answer?
I simply say, baby. Oh, baby. My sweet
wow.
Baby.
And classic, Patrick Swayze, Jerry Orbach, who I loved from Law and Order, and a slew of other people you would probably recognize. Obviously, Jennifer Grey, the main female character, but this movie is just a classic. It's iconic. It exploded. It wasn't expected to do anything. All the movie big teams, production teams, you know, iconic producers passed on it, all the studios. So 87 cost hardly anything to make. They made it in 45 days. And boy, oh boy, it was an interesting buzz around the movie once it came out, and it made a lot of money for a couple of the stars in the movie and the people, the producers behind the movie. So guess what? That's the long way of telling you I've never seen Dirty Dancing. And it's shocking to not just women, because people think this is a chick flick, but guys I know. You never saw Nobody Backs Baby into a Corner? Nope. And I'm putting that on my list. So maybe this year will be the year that I stream Dirty Dancing to escape all of the nonsense that we talk about constantly in other areas of our lives. What else would I do? Also on my list would be a trip where I went to all of the battle sites, I think, in and around Germany, because I pay homage and have talked to so many families and people who gave their lives for our bloodiest wars. And I've seen many documentaries on some of these areas. And while I've been to some places overseas, I haven't been to some of these iconic spots where some horrific things happened, but where some very brave men saved people and others gave their lives for people, and of course for freedom. And to actually feel that, see that, and be there would be pretty high on my list. Also high on my list is not to watch the kind of television that they say we do as Americans. They say the average American, while I do want to watch Dirty Dancing, just plan it. The average American, they say, watches more than 4 hours of TV a day, or 28 hours a week, 2 months of nonstop TV watching a year. Does that seem like a lot? If you're 65 years old, it means you will have spent 9 years glued to the tube. Ooh, that just doesn't sound fun to me. Now, I'm a sports watcher, and I'm a news junkie and a content junkie, so of course some of that would happen for me, but I don't think I'm quite up that high. However, when you have Netflix, for example, and some of the quality programming that we're seeing stream, because now there's so many outlets, and you get to see shows like The Irishman, which I think is good. Netflix is saying, I don't know why I did that fake accent, Netflix is saying more than 26 million people watched The Irishman, and this is a Martin Scorsese flick, which is crazy. I mean, it's a mob movie that's 3 hours and 30 minutes. And this is a very big one for Scorsese. Robert De Niro's in it, Al Pacino's in it, and I thought it was fascinating because it's about Jimmy Hoffa. My grandfather was a truck driver, then was the GM of a truck company, and I remember a little bit about the conversations about Philly and Hoffa and that kind of thing. So that many people are interested in it. They even think it's going to go to 40 million in the first month. So I guess it shows that some of these streaming companies can, like Netflix, which is a bona fide movie company now, they do produce original programming, can put something on where people will go and watch it. And how do they determine that? That's what I wondered. Because you don't have ratings boxes. How do you determine it? Netflix says someone who watched something on the service, it means they watched at least 70% of a movie or TV show. So how about that? Pretty interesting. Because now you have streaming wars. And who knows where that all ends up. But my goal, remember, is to not watch all that tube. So it does count as watching tube if you're streaming. Because you do that weird thing called binging, where you get hooked into some show, like any of the shows that feature some of these that I mentioned, some of these battlefields, etc. You get pulled into it, and it's not watching once a week or here and there. You just kind of sit there and drone. For exercise, because I don't know what you do. Do you exercise? Walk around the block? Take the dog for a walk? I've had a lot of great walks with Mahala, but I like to play tennis. You know why tennis is great? Because it's not a rich person's sport. You can be anywhere. It's the great equalizer. You can go out on a rickety court. As long as you have a racket and some balls, poof. Oh, there I am playing in the future.
Come on.
Let's listen.
Ah.
You listen?
What? Oh, you're...
Wow. I can picture myself just like that, stretching and groaning for yet another great forehand. How about that? Sweet! Props to the crew. Props to Eric, the technical maestro of the show, for digging all of that up. But, yeah, I would, I wouldn't mind playing some more sets of tennis. And don't tell the other, but if I could beat him a few times, that would be fun. Because he doesn't like it when I beat him. We have to have, you know, that thing of keeping score exactly so that nobody forgets the sets. So you had to have one of these flip things that we had to put on the net to make sure that we calculated the right games of peace. I don't know. There's another question for you as we head into another decade. Should men and women who are married compete against each other or not? Here's something else I'd like to do. Learn some more card games. I like playing cards. I played cards when I was a kid. My grandmother wouldn't let me come to the big table until I learned how to play hearts. And I was an okay hearts player, but I was much better at Pinochle, Texas Hold'em, and a couple of other games. I like Dummy Rummy even. And I learned about the magic of cards and conversation as a young kid. And it's hard to find people to play cards with because it's all about the video world now. But that's one of the things I want to do in the next decade, play new card games. Is my list ridiculous? I don't know. See some more sunsets? I haven't seen very many. See some more sunsets. See some more sunrises. It's always good when you're above ground and you get to live another day, right? Because there's more possibilities. All right, stay with us. Charlie Wurz is coming up, The Silent Thought.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product. And one of them is something called Argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The House Judiciary Committee Jerry Nadler has announced two articles of impeachment against President Trump for abuse of power and obstruction of Congress.
Integrity of our next election is at risk.
from a president who has already sought foreign interference in the 2016 and 2020 elections and who consistently puts himself above country. That is why we must act now.
The full committee is expected to vote on the articles this week. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says a trade deal with Canada and Mexico, which has been reached between the House and the White House, will have to wait because of the impeachment.
We will not be doing USMCA in the Senate between now and the end of next week. That'll have to come up, in all likelihood, right after the trial is finished in the Senate.
This is USA Radio News.
So here's the choice. Some people say the USA is finished. It's evil, a has-been, full of hate and injustice. The U.S. Constitution should be trashed and the Bill of Rights abolished. No free speech, no gun ownership. Competition and free markets are bad. We're all too stupid. For our own good, the government must own everything and know all your secrets.
Other people say that America has created the freest, richest, happiest, most generous society that has ever existed in the world. That's why millions of people are desperate to come here and escape their brutal lives in Cuba, Venezuela, North Korea, and 100 other countries.
In America, we have the right to succeed, the right to our own living, the right to have a family, the right to believe in God, the right to have our own ideas, the right to be safe and secure, and the right to be left alone.
Where do you stand? Help us save the Constitution and restore the American dream. Go to SaveMyFreedom.com.
Brought to you by the American Media Council.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
A shaman in our virtual green room, Joseph Galbraith, and he's written a book called Captain Star, The Native Pirate, and it's so cool to me. It pulled me in because, as many of you know, I used to live in California, and it's fascinating when you look at the history of California, and it wraps itself kind of around this and the Chumash people, and Joseph, you know, as I said, a shaman, and the deep, rich history he has and the knowledge about this subject and how he's wrapped it into this book that's great for children, but not just for children. I think for adults, too. Joseph, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
My pleasure. It's great to talk to you.
All right. So before we dive into the book, you have to tell me about, because this obviously is, you write about what you know about. How did you become a shaman?
Okay. First of all, I'm not a shaman.
Oh, you're not?
No, I am Chumash. My great-uncle was a shaman. My uncle was Opio. He practiced the herbs, things of that nature.
But, gotcha.
I draw the information and the knowledge from basically from my ancestors, my uncles. When they would talk about it, when they talked about my uncle Elopio and things of that nature.
Yes, so you learned about it from Uncle Elopio, and obviously you know a lot about, so you're not a shaman, but you know a lot about it. So I'm going to call you like a little apprentice, in a sense, because you know more than we do, and that is so fascinating. And how is that important and related to the story and the Chumash people?
It's very important because it's a story that I've been trying to get out for a long time, but I'm not a writer. In fact, in school, this is me, okay? I was considered the dumbest kid in school. I couldn't read very well. At the time that I went to school, there was no such thing as learning disabilities. You were just either be able to read or you didn't. And I was one of those poor kids that couldn't read because I couldn't place the letters in the right order.
Ah, gotcha. So it's so incredible that you got this book out from talking about going from learning disabilities to telling this story. So what, if we pick up the book, what does the story tell us about? What will we learn? What will pull us in? Because I think it's a great story that does pull you in.
It begins in the late 1700s when the Chumash people and the different nations surrounding the Chumash area, the Kosanoans and different tribes, were living free along the California coastline. They had the Spanish roaming here and there. They had the English roaming here and there, but no one really controlled the area yet at that point. The story begins as the Catholic or the Christians started, the Catholic religion started moving into California with missions and started building missions along the coast. One of their biggest duties when they brought the missions in is to make all the indigenous people Christians. And that meant bringing them in from their villages into the mission grounds and basically convert them from being a free people to an enslaved people.
Wow.
Cooks and working on the grounds, things of that nature. They weren't allowed to speak their native tongue, which is unfortunate because the Chumash language is pretty much lost now because of that. The dress, there wasn't a lot of clothing. It wasn't necessary for the Chumash people. But, of course, when the Christians got here, they, you know, you had to wear the long dresses and the pants and the long-sleeve shirts to look like everybody else. Because you couldn't look like a native. You had to look like them, which they called the humans.
Wow, the humans. All right, so again, the book is called Captain Star, the Native Pirate and Shaman to the Chumash People, Keeper of the Land, Sea, and Sky for the Spirit Gods. You set us up for that story. And what's the lesson here? What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
What I hope that they take away is that the Chumash people were a peaceful nation. The majority of the different tribes, the Kosanoans near Monterey and there, were peaceful people. We were not warlike. We believed in the land and in the gods of the sea, the land, and the sky. And they gave us what we needed, and we gave back what we could. A lot of your other tribes along the Midwest, things of that nature, some of them were warring tribes. The Chumash people weren't. If another group came in to the area and said, "You got to leave because we want this area," okay, it's not ours to say no anyway because it doesn't belong. The ground, the dirt, the water does not belong to us. It belongs to the Great Spirit. And if he feels that it's time for us to leave, then we leave and go somewhere else.
Boy, that's well put, and of course, that's wrapped into this story. And you have several characters, and we've got a couple of minutes left, but I like the character of Starfish. And you talk about in Chapter 2, in the years that followed, Starfish grew strong. When Starfish turned 10 years of age, it was time for him to start his training as Shaman of the Village. And we talked about that at the beginning, how that's what your uncle, of course, is the Shaman. So tell us a little bit about Starfish and the energy that Starfish learn through his studies.
Mm-hmm. Starfish was a very curious boy. Even from the age of 7, when he first saw the large tongas, which in Chumash is a tonga is a boat, but these were oversized boats in short ships. And Starfish from a village near Mora Bay, he would watch these ships go in and out, all the time. And one time he saw a ship come into shore, into a little inlet near Mora Bay, and he saw this bear-like character standing on one of the large tongas coming in with other men. And what it was is that this bear-like character was a pirate. His name was Captain Salazar. And he was bear-like because he had a full beard, long hair, and he wore leathers and beautiful clothing. And it amazed Starfish to see this person, this human there. Well, years passed, and Captain Salazar became a friend to the Chumash people in that area. And in return, Salazar would bring goods and seeds to the people, and the people would give him safe harbor. Now, Starfish grew up knowing him, somewhat talking to him because he spoke Spanish, and the people spoke their native tongue of Chumash, but they were able to still communicate through gestures. Now, at the age of 10, again, in the late 1700s, was about the time that the mission started to come up the coastline, one of which was near between Mora Bay and San Luis Obispo, that area. They were going to put a mission. Well, that meant bringing all the villages into the mission area. This was not accepted by most of the Chumash nations, but they knew that they could not compete against long rifles and swords and the number of people that would come in. It wasn't the Padres that walked into the village to say, "Oh, we're here to make you good Christians." No, it was Spanish soldiers that came in and said, "You will go."
Yeah, they had no choice. Wow, it's fascinating. We don't want to give the whole story away. Love it. Captain Star, the native pirate and shaman to the Chumash people, keeper of the land, sea, and sky for the spirit gods. Look for me to post pictures of Morro Bay. I lived exactly where Joseph is talking about. Joseph, thanks so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
The one thing I do want to say, if I could, and that is the book itself has no pictures in it, because when I wrote the book, I wrote it in the respect that as you read it, I give you enough information to make your own picture in your mind what it looks like and what the star looks like and what the village looks like.
Nice. So the imagination, that's a perfect place to end this. Joseph, thank you.
Thank you so very much.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on.
So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid, mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call, 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
In order to see it, you've got to believe it.
So imagine tackling leadership in America, politics in America, open borders and immigration, political correctness, race relations in America, and this is just scratching the surface. We talk about it here on the show. In Author's Corner, I'm pleased to introduce you to Charlie Wurz. He's written a book called The Silent Thought, America in Transition and Crisis. We had such a great conversation off the air. Hey, Charlie, how are you?
Very good. How about yourself?
I'm excellent. Let's talk about what you and I talked about. What drove you to write this book and tackle all of this?
Well, I think first and foremost, the crisis I cite are very concerning. And then taking a look at why we don't have more people talking openly about those. And that's what led me to formulate this concept of silent thought.
Yeah, and you talk about this crossroads we're at and how critical it is at now, and what we saw happen in the 2016 presidential election and what we're seeing happening now, actually. And then if you catapult us forward, what's your biggest concern?
Well, I think we're continuing just to divide ourselves. I mean, we have all sorts of other influences from the rest of this world, from the rest, every other, especially these countries that want to undermine America. So if we continue to undermine ourselves, we just put ourselves more at risk and more vulnerable.
The title is perfect, The Silent Thought. How do we combat the negative consequences of silent thought?
with respect or in context of these crises, it's a question of being more informed and certainly not dealing with them only in an emotional way, more with a thoughtful, analytical way. So because with emotion, it sort of shuts down very quickly any thoughtful discussion or debate on these crises. So most importantly is to understand that what silent thought can do to us. It just removes that from our daily lives, and we don't give it enough critical analysis.
Yeah, and in the book, you specifically, like you say, you talk about several crises. Pick one for us and take us through that.
Well, I think two of them, leadership in America and politics in America, go hand in hand. And I think that, just quickly, one of the things that people don't realize is the how they do determine what our daily lives are all about. They seem to think it's in the abstract and it doesn't affect our daily lives, but it really does. But when I take leadership in America, for example, I'm talking about the leadership in Washington, D.C., primarily our national politics and so-called national leaders, starting with the presidency. If these people fail, then obviously the country's going to fail or stumble and not achieve or continue to achieve, you know, the greatness of what we all believe America is all about. So that's why that type of leadership has to be so genuine. I mean, we have to try to find a way to remove the politics from that leadership, because they're not truly leading if they're only leading in a way that serves themselves and not the people that have elected them.
Yeah. We're speaking with Charlie Wurz, and he's written a book called, and you can get it on Amazon, The Silent Thought, America in Transition and Crisis. I love what you say in Chapter 5. You talk about political correctness, and we always use, you know, the acronym PC. And you say at one point in this, you say, we have a political party in this country that self-identifies as progressives or progressive liberals. So does this represent all of America? And you say, certainly not, unless you're part of this group. So again, ask yourself, why are we concerned as Americans with political correctness? I believe we should be more concerned with American correctness and not just a set of subjective ideals promoted by a particular political party and those who may agree with it. Is this not just another example of an individual or group of people trying to influence others who don't agree with them? I mean, you put it so plainly, and I think you're just dead on with this, because we could take other labels and say the same thing, and this is another big divider, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It is a pretense. There certainly should be thoughtful, you know, dialogue and actions by everyone, but I truly believe that this is a charade. It's a pretense in order to shut down debate that a lot of people in this country, whether they be politicians, people in the media, simply want to shut down alternative views. So they disguise it as being politically correct, when really it's trying to change America with a narrow viewpoint, and that's just not what America is all about. That's the reason I compare it to American correctness. There's always going to be folks that will injure others in speech and unfortunately sometimes in action, but that doesn't mean we change what America, you know, how America became America, which is the freedom to speak our minds.
Yeah, absolutely. And I say it all the time, Charlie, on this show. I don't care what your label is, left of left, right of right, I'm in between, I don't know. Let's just have the conversation. And I think that's part of the problem. You said it, shutting it down. Imagine, it seems, if we go back into our history, there was open debate and thought, and you weren't so labelized or trying to find yourself in some sort of a group. Do you also think there's a problem with wanting to belong to a group, so you just throw out what you maybe really are thinking in the back of your mind?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think that we, certainly with these national politicians, to subscribe to one party just because it's maybe Democrat, Republican, whatever, that they have, if they ever earned it in the first place, they certainly have lost that that obligation by anyone. We should think openly. If we start locking ourselves or become so dogmatic that we only think we're going to listen to one party's position, then we're really missing what's important to solve the problems we have in front of us. So you can't lock yourself into that perspective any longer, especially with the dysfunction of politics, our national politics that exists today. That's just not workable.
Yeah. How tough was it to write this book? Because there's so many different directions that you could have taken with it. And I love the way, and I said this in the beginning, how you organize the chapters, because you spell out the transitions, where we are and what's happened. Was it tough to decide what you were going to leave in and what you're going to leave out and what you're going to put in?
Well, it took, yeah, it was, but it was also very enjoyable because it gave me a chance to put my thoughts, as you say, in an organized way, and to illustrate why it's so important to not fall into this silent thought position. You know, one of the things that is the most concerning is if people don't. And again, the book is, I don't know if it's, I want to use the word provoke or evoke, but I want people to not accept this as my opinion. I want them to hopefully consider these crises and this concept of silent thought, maybe in a way they haven't thought before, and just challenge themselves to think differently. But if we continue on the road we are, I mean, we hear the phrase identity theft. If we continue, as a lot of folks do, and not think critically, we are yielding our identity to those who want to influence us.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can pick up the book on Amazon again, The Silent Thought, Charlie Wirz, America in Transition and Crisis. What do you hope people take away from reading this? And I think we've talked a little bit about that, but as we wrap it up, what do you really hope the big takeaway is?
Well, I hope the takeaway is that these crises do exist, and we could agree or disagree on how serious they are. And this certain transition period I talked about that was, I felt it was triggered by the 9/11 attack. Mm. Because again, when we think about it, we have almost a generation since then, and we have people who are going to be voting for the first time in the next presidential election in 2020 that were born that year or a year after, that now are going to be voting in probably one of the most important elections in recent history. The first one, I think, was 2016. But if only to, and that's why I encourage everyone, if this is a book I wrote intentionally to be a quick read, only because I would hope that people would read it a second time. I think you get much more out of it the second time you read it. But just more awareness. And, you know, because again, if you look at the amount of people that vote or don't vote, and vote, they're not informed, that is a very serious concern. So again, the takeaway is to realize that it is one country, it's different from any other country in the world. It can be great, will be great, but everyone has to get more involved and not sit on the sidelines.
Absolutely. I love how you said that, and get out and vote for sure. Charlie Wirz, thank you so much. Pick up the book, The Silent Thought, America in Transition and Crisis. You can get it on Amazon. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now. Anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.